Mary, did you know that your babe...
Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for beautiful singing, beautiful music, a beautiful day to behold your love and your goodness for us. Hear this, your humble servant, as he comes, struggling to find the adequate words to describe one of the most remarkable experiences the world has ever known. Can't do it, Lord, in the way that I would like, but I would just seek your direction and wisdom and guidance that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Most of you know the name Dave Ramsey. And only Dave Ramsey could say it the way he says it. And I'm quoting him. Okay, folks. Do you want to turn those fat and flabby expenses into a well-toned budget? Do you want to transform your sad and skinny little bank accounts into a well-built cash machine? Then get with the program, people. You see, there's one sure way to whip your finances into shape, and that's with the Total Money Makeover. That's Dave Ramsey, the best-selling author, enormously successful radio host, and the inspiration for Financial Peace University. And many people have seen him on television and heard him on radio. But this is also the same Dave Ramsey, if you read the whole story, the same Dave Ramsey who at the age of 26, had amassed millions of dollars in fortune. Millions of dollars. And lost it all over a 3-year period. Lost everything he had. Everything. And he puts it this way, and I love it. We were sued, foreclosed on, and finally, with a brand new baby and a toddler, we were bankrupt. Whoa. He said this led him to a quest, which led him really to one of the most uncomfortable places he could ever find himself, and that was in front of a mirror, when the only thing he had to see was himself. And he said the quest started with him and a journey that has lasted for 15 years of helping others learn from his mistakes as well as his successes. And it all began for Dave Ramsey by being vulnerable. Are you willing to do that with other people, even family members? Really being vulnerable, this sort of letting it out. Here's what you see is what you get. And it's not much to look at. And when you look at it in the mirror, it's even worse yet. I know, I've seen it. But here was Dave Ramsey. He just let it all hang out there for others to see and to share with others what he had learned the hard way. And whenever you see him speak to crowds, that's what he always does. He said, this is where I was and this is where I am, and what you see is what you get. Nothing flowery. I'm just a human being who has struggled and fallen flat on his face and found a way to grow and to build. And I want to share that with you. His passion is contagious. I don't know if you've ever been in any of his programs or any of his assembled gatherings, but he's contagious and draws people in as he talks not only about his failures, but his successes and about how other people can succeed as well. Bishop Will Willimon of the Methodist Church is probably one of the top outstanding preachers in the nation today, one of the top 15. He was formerly a professor at Duke University Divinity School and the dean of the chapel before he became a bishop in the United Methodist Church, serving now in the North Alabama Conference. And he tells a wonderful story about a college president he happened to visit. just happened to visit this college one day, and he said it was the kind of a place where the students were saying that the president really believed in the student body. He was a different kind of college president. He didn't wear bow ties, didn't even have a tie or hair. But what a remarkable man he was. And Bishop Willimon goes on to say, he said, this is the story I get from the students. He said, more than one evening a week, the president is known to be hanging out in the coffee shop where the kids are so he can get all the stuff that's going on in the student life. He visits with the students and oftentimes goes to their dormitory lounges and just stays with them to hear what they have to say about student life and about the college and about what's going on in the academic field. He just hangs out and listens to the students, and then Willimon says, this guy even invites the students to his home. And he said, they're oftentimes at his home more than they are other places because he just likes having them around. The president, the students say, is open, accessible, interested, and passionate about his calling. Sounds like Dave Ramsey. Passionate about his calling. Now, you know a person like that is going to receive criticism. Open to criticism of all kinds. What do you mean becoming a buddy to the students? How are they going to learn discipline if you buddy up to them? They need a president who's going to be stern and tough with them. You don't want to buddy up to them. You know, before the birth of Jesus, the same attitude was held about God. God was out there. Oh, he was somewhat distant from us. We couldn't quite reach him. In fact, philosophers like Aristotle insisted that God was unchanging and untouched by the movement of the world. God cared, but not overly so. God was out there, but not in here. And that's what the philosopher said. After all, if God got his hands dirty every time the world changed, God wouldn't be God, would he? What God would end up, God would end up being like you and me. Heaven forbid. But God said, I'm quoting God. God said, interesting thought. And on a holy night like this, 2,000 years ago, a joyous birth took place. And in this birth, we see the length to which God was willing to stoop, to bend, in order to stand with us. That's why we're here. That's just awesome. That's just hard to believe. And the Word has become flesh and dwells with us. And God became a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. Now let's stop here for just a moment. I don't know how many Boy Scouts I have, Girl Scouts I have in here. But I think if we go back to some of the rules and regulation of life-saving, and you can help me if I'm wrong, in those of you in scouting. Let's see, is it not this? Drowning people tend to drown those who try to save them. Isn't that part of it? Therefore, if you see someone in difficulty in the water, throw something to them. Reach out to them, but never jump in the water with them, because drowning people will tend to drown the ones who are trying to save them. Drowning people are desperate. This is all in the Boy Scout rules and regulation. Well, I think it is. Drowning people are desperate, and so was humankind. But God had a passion for us. God was willing to be vulnerable and to say, you want to see what God is really like? Let me show you. You want to know what real love is like? Let me show you. A love that can even endure rejection. Let me show you what love is like. It wasn't tough love, because tough love is always at a distance. It was reckless love. It was absolute reckless love, the kind of love that jumps in the water no matter what. If you're drowning, jumps in the water in order to save you. A love which gives everything that we might be free. God, being God, didn't hold back. God, being God, loved without limits. God, being God, was willing to stoop down in order to save us. God, being God, was willing to wade into the struggles we experience. And God, being God, I can't believe this. You talk about being vulnerable. God, being God, was willing to be born in poverty in a dirty barn, in a manger that cows ate out of. Do you know that's the kind of God you serve and worship? Reckless, passionate, involved in your life and mine. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Wow. Oh, by the way, a final thought. Did you know the word passion comes almost directly from the Latin word meaning to suffer? And later in the church year during Holy Week, we will pause again during a week of the crucifixion and focus on the passion of Jesus. A time when he suffered and a time when he became most vulnerable on a cross for our freedom. What a God. To die on a tree of execution for all of humanity and for you and me. Isaiah says it well. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises, we are healed. But God, being God, said you don't have to go to Holy Week to find passion come alive, because God's passion never had to wait for Good Friday, and it never had to wait for a cross. And the words explain it so beautifully. Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the world, the Lord. Try as we might, we can never match God's reckless love for us. What's this great song? We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. And the amazing thing about the song is that God did just that. Amen.
Sweet little Jesus boy,